8 years ago, one of the most powerful women on Wall Street was fired. Sally Krawcheck was head of the wealth management group at Citi. She was pushing the company to give money back to clients who'd lost a lot of it because of Citi's bad investments leading up to the financial crisis. She lost that battle, but now she's got a new job helping women be smarter with their money. She's head of a new investment platform called Elevest. And in this week's View from the Top, our series of conversations with leaders, we speak with Sally Krawcheck, who believes the U.S. is facing a gender investment gap. And I asked her to explain what she meant by that.
We're facing a retirement savings crisis in this country. And if you actually dig through the numbers, it is in large part a women's crisis. That's because we women live longer than you men do. I'm sorry to tell you, Peter.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I know. And we actually, we retire with less money than men do. And that's in part because we have, as you just indicated, something that we really haven't been talking about, which is a gender investing gap. Men invest to a greater degree than women do. And it cost us women thousands, some cases hundreds of thousands, for some women, millions of dollars over the course of their lives. It's a big deal.
Well, the asset management firm BlackRock points out that women keep about 70% of their money in cash, and for men, it's about 59%. Just explain why that statistic is so important, the basic idea that cash in a savings account doesn't grow with inflation.
You lose money every day, essentially, that inflation gets ahead of you, and so day by day by day, you have less. Whereas if you're in the markets, the stock markets, which have their ups and their downs, over time, over the last, let's call it, you know, eight decades, has returned on average 9.5% per annum. If you're in a diversified portfolio, which is what we typically recommend at Elevest, you'll get somewhere between those. But, you know, what we as women have to do is we have to change our thinking of, geez, it can be risky to be in the markets, to, geez, it's very risky to be out of the markets because we lose ground.
I want to ask you about this discrepancy. I mean, why women are so much more reluctant to invest than men? Because in some ways, and please tell me if I'm being stereotypical here, I could see why women would be much better investors than men. They might be more patient. They might be less willing to take a risk.
Well, I won't fight you on that because the research indicates that when we women invest, we women do tend to be more patient, take a longer term perspective, and as a result of it, tend to be better investors than men. But the messages we get are that investing is sort of the guy's world. Think about it for a second. If you think about the investment firms in Wall Street, the messages tend to be male messages: outperform the market, beat the market, pick the winners. The TV shows around investing tend to be sort of sports-like in nature. Heck, the symbol of the industry is actually a bull. And so there's some very male messages. On top of that, we as women tend to buy into some of the old myths. It's really one of the last places where we're more 1958 than 2016. Guys are better at math. Not true. People do tend to think men are better investors. Again, we talked about it, not true. That women need more financial education to invest. Well, everybody does, but men invest anyway. Women need more handholding. Women need a personal relationship. There are all these sort of soft biases that keep us back from investing. The truth is the industry simply hasn't spoken to us as fully as it has to men, and it cost us.
And as you know, many of those biases start at a very early age. So I just wonder, how did you learn how to invest?
Oh, how did I learn? I just did it. The reason I started investing is because I went to Wall Street. Truth is, I was a journalism major, and I went to Wall Street because it was the 80s, because I wanted to learn about something to write about. And, you know, one thing led to another, and I, well, frankly, couldn't get a job in journalism, truth be told.
I couldn't get a job on Wall Street.
Well, so there we have it. So sort of two peas in a pod or different sides of the coin or whatever it is. So I was in the industry where that's what we did. So I didn't come by it naturally. I don't know that I would have if I hadn't been part of the industry.
You taught yourself?
I did. Research analyst. And I found that I bought stocks well and then would fall in love with them and forget to sell them. And so I became convinced that the right way to invest is forget about picking the stocks. The research is awfully clear that this is a lot of activity for a lot of underperformance in general, even for professionals. That the right way to invest is to have a diversified portfolio across a range of assets that will lower the volatility and give you market-like returns, in theory, over time. And that's the way we invest at Elevest. Keep it very simple. And rather than talk to the women about, hey, want a large cap mutual fund? No. Want a small cap ETF? Oh, what's that?
Mm-hmm.
That instead we talk to her about the things she can control, which is, how does she want to retire? Does she want to buy a home? Does she want to have a kid? Does she want to start a business? What does she want to achieve in life? We then, through the use of a very powerful algorithm, then project out for her her ability to achieve those things by investing in highly customized investment portfolios to get her there.
Well, you mentioned that you taught yourself how to invest. And I'm just thinking about my own financial education growing up. My father sat me down and talked to me about money and investing very much. I mean, spending hours of my lifetime. I think probably my sister had a very different experience or different mm-hmm. types of conversations with my father. I'm certain that my wife had a very different set of conversations in her household growing up. So how do women in their 20s, in their 30s, or maybe even older, get out of that cycle?
Mm-hmm. We just have to break it. And one of my messages to women is, you know, I thought years ago, you know what? I don't really want to exercise. I really don't. But the reason I do it is for my kids to watch me do it, for them to see that it's part of a healthy lifestyle and a life well lived. My work, when I work, I don't spend a lot of time on the work-life balance. I want my kids to see that I love my job and the impact that I can have, that my husband can have on the world around us through our work. I'd say the same thing with investing, that I talk to any number of women and say, we need to do it because you don't want your daughter to be stuck, you know, decades from now, not having invested, and then being stuck in the marriage she doesn't like, in the job she hates, doing the things she doesn't want to do because she doesn't have the financial cushion that can be built up through investing that gives her the resources to live the life that she wants to.
And I understand mm-hmm. that happened to you, that very thing.
Well, I find it's important to learn every lesson the hard way. And so even though I was on Wall Street in my 20s, my first husband, my ex-husband, who's now with my ex-friend, strayed. Let's just put it that way. He strayed. And I found myself, you know, trying to figure out how much money we had, where it was, et cetera, because he took care of all of this. Now, I will tell you, Peter, for years I told this story and I'd say, look, if my husband could cheat on me, your husband can cheat on you. And frankly, nobody ever found it that compelling. I'm sure the women were thinking, you know, Sally, I don't know. I'd probably cheat on you too. But here I finally figured out a way to make my point, Peter, which is if Jay-Z can cheat on Beyonce, none of us are safe. Okay?
Beyonce has a lot of money, though.
Oh, exactly my point. So when do we feel sorry for her? No. Now, obviously, you know, we'd all love to have that kind of financial cushion. But the point remains the same, which is if you are financially strong, things can happen to you in life and you can weather them much better than if you're not. And I'll give your listeners a statistic that they should take very seriously, which is 90% of women manage their money on their own at some point in their lives. And the tragedy is when a woman is trying to figure it out for the first time because her husband cheated or he died. And so leaving it in someone else's hands, something that is this important, when, by the way, again, the research shows the women outperform the guys on investing, allowing this to be outsourced is an enormous mistake.
Well, I hear you, Sally, but I'm also seeing a new Bankrate.com report that shows 66 million American adults don't have any money saved up for retirement. 28% have saved 6 months of an emergency fund. Makes me think that, you know, maybe this isn't so much a problem about gender, men and women. It's just a problem for everybody.
These problems can coexist because there's no doubt as a country that we are undersaved. There's no doubt as a country that we tend to overspend. And my message for young people, but for everyone, if you have to buy it on a credit card, do not buy it. Look at what your salary is and live within those means. In fact, look at what your salary is, subtract 5%, 10%, 20%, some amount to put aside every week, every month, and live within those means. And that money is going to be put off for, yes, retirement, but also for buying homes, for starting businesses, for having families, for the big things in life, and live within those means overall. But I'd come back to, if there's not enough retirement savings out there, and if we live 6 to 8 years longer than men, you think about it, every nursing home in this country is 80 to 85% female. So by looking at the issue this way, by shifting the lens on it, it's very interesting because all the problems that we think about, all the solutions we think about for the retirement savings crisis, which is entitlement cuts, ugh, tax increases, eh, become more about closing the gender pay gap, keeping women in the workforce longer, closing the gender investing gap, that closing the gender pay gap in and of itself, because it would lead to more Social Security contributions, more 401k contributions, by some estimates, closes the retirement savings gap by a third.
Wow.
So these numbers are not small. Remember, women are half plus the workforce. So getting more resources into the hands of women actually leads to closing this gap and economic growth. It's all good.
Sally Krawcheck, CEO and co-founder of the startup Elevest. Sally, thank you very much.
Thank you, Peter, for having me. I appreciate it.